Amen. Children's church. Everybody look around. Look at all the children. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And it's not based on your performance. It's not based on what you do or don't do. His grace is sufficient for us all. And He loves you. Doesn't matter what happened to you. Doesn't matter what you did. God loves you. I read a book years ago by Philip Yancey. He said this, and I think I've quoted it before. He said that his best definition of grace is this. Is that there's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. That's grace, isn't it? That's just grace, God's grace. He loved us all so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on that old rugged cross, be buried in the grave, and God raised Him up on the third day to promise us everlasting life. That's the good news, isn't it? That's the good news. 1 Thessalonians, let's pray. So we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And Darius is going to have it up on the screen, 1 through 11. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this precious, precious church. Thank you that they love Lynn and I, and we love them too. But we just pause for a minute and pray for everyone on the back of our bulletin. All the folks that are struggling and they're sick, and maybe need direction, they need healing. Lord, we pray for Gary's sister, Dale. And we lift her up and we just lay her at the foot of the cross. Ask you to help her. Lord, we do pray for everyone on our bulletin. Let us not forget those. Those are just not names on a piece of paper. They're lives. They're families. So Lord, we just trust that you minister to each one of them according to your will. Lord, as always, we pray for our missionaries running all over the world. And we lift up our military. Keep them strong, faithful. Pray for our country while we repent of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. It says, "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. And as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you," everybody say, "but you." That's talking about us, believers in Jesus Christ. Right? Saved, born again, adopted into the family of God. It says, "But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness." So you're not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. Jesus come back right now, it's not really going to surprise us. Now we may go, whoa, right? We may go, whoa. But you're going to know instantly, aren't you? Instantly. And if I turn into a human space shuttle, you're going to know right away. Hopefully you're going with me. If you're not, we need to talk at the end of the message, right? But instantly, you're going to know. It's not going to catch you off, you know, off guard like, you know, what's going on? What happened to these? No, we're going to know. It says, "You, because you are all children of the light and children of the day, we do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then," here we go, another, "so then, let us not be like others who are asleep." Now that word "asleep" could mean actually dead, but for this scripture and for the most part, it means just someone who's kind of like, just checking out, not really paying attention to what's going on, oblivious, you know what I mean, kind of, everybody got it? Who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Now that word sober, that's what that means too. It means to be aware of what's going around. You know, what's going on. To be in your right state of mind. Okay? Don't be mixed up and confused and distracted and all those words. Okay? It means to know what's going on, be in your right state of mind. It's kind of the same word when the Bible talks about God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and the what? Sound mind, right? That sound mind is the same thing. You're aware mentally of what's going on. You know what's happening. Okay, verse 7 says, for those who sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as the helmet. Knowing you're saved. The helmet, protecting your mind, protecting how you think. Understanding and knowing and accepting and being assured that you're saved. You're born again. Verse 9. For God did not. Everybody say did not. One more time. For God did not. Please don't let this go over your head now. Please. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. He did not appoint us to suffer wrath. If you're a born-again Christian, a follower of Christ, you are not going through the tribulation. You're not going to hell. This many people in here, there's quite a few who worry about that. You worry about it. Stop worrying about it. If you're a believer in Christ and you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you've been sealed with the precious Holy Spirit, you're not going to be here during this wrath time that God pours out on earth called the tribulation. You're not going to hell. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody got it? And here's why. It's real clear. Verse 10. He died for us so that whether we are asleep or awake, we may live together with Him. And then verse 11 is what my message is really about this morning. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. Everybody said amen? Amen. I really believe God wants every one of us to be an encourager. See, this is something that we can all do. Some can teach class. Some can lead discipleship groups. Some people can hand out tracts. Some people can get on and get up and speak in front of people. Some people can write thank you cards. Some people can pray. We all can pray, but you don't say it. Some people are called to be like prayer warriors. Some people can bake cakes and give them away. And some people can do this and some people go that. But we all can be an encourager. God wants us to be fearless and courageous when it comes to encouraging others. I believe, and you hear me say this a lot, I believe that God has a personal mission for each one of us, and He wants us to show up strong. He wants us to show up strong, not only for ourselves, but for others. God wants us to show up strong. He wants us to encourage each other. He also wants us to pray for each other. He wants us to laugh with each other. He wants us to cry with each other. He wants us to do life with each other. And sometimes this means the good, the bad, and maybe the ugly. You see, the devil knows that his time is short. I really believe that. And I believe, like probably most of us believe in here, that Jesus is coming soon. I feel it in my bones. I know every preacher says that, but I just feel it. How many know what I'm talking about? You just feel that it's not very long. What does that long mean? I mean, it could be my lifetime or, you know, Megan's lifetime or something like that. But I believe that the Lord is coming back soon. And also I believe and see this firsthand that the enemy is on full attack. He realizes that his time's getting short and he's on full attack. He's targeting in on your children. I'm not trying to scare you. This is just the real deal now. He's targeting in on your children. He's targeting in on your marriage. He's targeting in on your businesses. He's targeting in on our country and what's going on in the media and all this politics. Y'all know, I'm not going to even go there, but you know what's going on. And here's something else too that me and you, we don't need to forget. He is also targeting in on our personal weaknesses. We have to be careful. Be watchful. Be wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove. People are suffering. People are suffering in this world. People in our city, our county, our nation, people in this church, we're suffering. Some people are suffering. Even believers, followers of Christ. I love Charles Stanley this week. He talked about the difference between a believer and a follower. Anybody hear that? It was really pretty cool. Followers of Christ. Listen closely to this, okay? This world, our community, our church, desperately, desperately needs the body of Christ to work together, to minister to each other, and then spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost community, a lost world. I believe, and I really believe this, now more than most any time in the world, we need three types of strong, mature believers right now. In this church and in every church. Soul winners, disciple makers, and encouragers. Those are three things I believe the Lord put on my heart. Soul winners, disciple makers, and encouragers. This morning's message, obviously, is about encouragers. The Bible says that in the end times, there will be a revival. There will be a revival. The world will see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like never before. Yes, and I know the Bible says that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But it also clearly says that God comes to give life and life more abundantly. He does. Revival is coming. We'll be either alive and caught up in it and a part of it, or we'll be asleep. And we'll have nothing to do with it. We'll just be surviving. But the choice is really ours. It's Pauline Baptist Church. The choice is ours. Do you want to be a part of someone finding everlasting life? Do you want to be a part of someone finding peace of mind? It It's a beautiful thing. Do you want to see families restored? Do you want to see marriages healed? Do you want to see lost children return to their church roots? Amen. This is all exciting. This will happen if we continue, we have been, but we continue to work together in this ministry, in this mission. Here's a point. Don't miss this one. We are not designed to be alone. We're not created that way. We're not created to be alone, an island amongst ourselves. The scripture says this, that two, everybody say two, that two are better than one, because when one falls or slips, the other's there to pick them up. It says a cord of three is hard to break. Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now listen to that part. So that we won't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. When we link arms together, we help each other. When we stand together, guess what happens? We stand opposed to the enemy's tricks and lies. We encourage each other. We help each other. We stand in the gap for each other. See, the enemy wants to deceive us and trick us. He wants us to isolate. He wants us to be alone. He doesn't want us to have the support that we were designed to have. God designed us, created us to be together, to support each other, to be a family. God says, if you will encourage, you will be encouraged. We definitely reap what we sow. If we encourage others, we can stand against the enemy for them. We can intercede for them. We can encourage them. Sometimes it's difficult to stay encouraged. Sometimes it's hard to fight the enemy when we try to do it alone. I've seen people, I've been there myself several times in my life. I've seen people get so discouraged, so down, so defeated that they can't even think straight. I've been there. Probably some of you have been there. I'd say most of you have been there. You know, when you're discouraged and down and defeated, that is the time that the enemy tries to get in your mind and have a heyday. Tries to tell you, you're not going to make it. It's not going to work out. You're not good enough. You're not going to get well. Things are not going to get better. And those are lies of the enemy. We need to encourage each other, guys. Let's continue, like I said in the scripture, to encourage each other. This word encouragement means to impart courage. It means to be fearless, brave. How do we do that? We trust God. We trust Him. He is our fortress. He is our provider. God is saying, impart courage to one another. See, the enemy wants to discourage. Once we really truly understand the power of encouragement, then it gives us the power to encourage ourselves and others. And that word power, that's the same word in the book of Acts when it said the Holy Spirit come upon them and they had power. It's that same word. I've talked about it before. It's the power capable of reproducing itself like a dynamo. That's where we get the English word dynamite from. I encourage you and you encourage them and you encourage those people and those people and those people. Encourage your family. Encourage your friends. Encourage your loved ones. Encourage your coworkers. Even encourage your boss. So we want to encourage because the Bible is telling us to encourage. We want to be doers of the word and not hearers only. See, the Israelites in Exodus chapter 6 were too discouraged to believe God. They couldn't even hear the words of Moses. They had gotten so discouraged and so down, mainly because they was looking at themselves and took their eyes off God. But that's another point. They were so discouraged they could not see or hear what God's wonderful plan was for them. Please, please try not to let anyone around you become discouraged. Because see, we have good news. We have good news for them. God loves them. Jesus died on the cross for them. Rose from the grave. He's a blessed hope. Don't lose hope. Be an encourager. When you encourage, you'll be encouraged. And then you'll have that God-given ability, that God-given power, right? To motivate and encourage others. You know, the scientific community, they think they've proven that whenever we do something kind for someone, when we help someone, we get an emotional high from that. In other words, you get a release of the chemical dopamine in your brain that gives you the sense of, you know, happiness and feel good and that kind of thing. So we actually really makes us physically feel good to help people. Some of you know what I mean by that. When you help someone, you do something nice, you know, you don't do it for the reward, but when you do it, it makes you feel good, don't it? It makes you feel good. I truly believe there will be a day, and most of us have experienced this, that we have to be able to encourage ourselves like David did. See, God wants us to become good at encouraging others. Because see, when the day comes, and it will come, when you just don't feel like it. You just don't feel like it. You don't feel like it. And when that happens, remember, you reap what you sow. God will send someone along to help you, to encourage you, to motivate you. I'm going to tell you a quick story about my neighbor Mark. Lynn and I, God knows I'm hard by this, huh? We have neighbors that we try to minister to, literally, and we pray for them, strategic prayers. And remember the neighbor we brought a rum cake to from the Caribbean? I won't tell that story, but we didn't quite know how much rum it really had in it, you know. So I'm trying to witness to our neighbor, for you guys that haven't been here. I'm trying to witness to our neighbor, right, and pray for him, invite him to church and all that, and we bring him a rum cake. You know, I was innocent about it, really. And then a couple days later, he was like, man, that rum cake was good. So we had one, too. So we opened it up and tried it. I was like, oh, my God. Okay, sorry, made a mistake. But, you know, it is what it is. So another neighbor moved in across the street. So we brought her a apple, what was that? Bear claws, apple fritters, you know, from Publix. Then we got another neighbor on this side. His name is Mark, and his wife's name's, Tatiano. And they're real nice people. I don't think they go to church, you know, I hadn't, but we've been kind of trying to befriend them a little bit. So I'm telling a long story. Oh my God. So several months ago, I was just getting discouraged. You know, I was in that trying to make a decision and just got discouraged and, you know, not having a good day. And so Mark and his wife comes walking by, and they're walkers, you know. Walk, walk, walk. And he goes, "Hey, neighbor." And I say, "Hey, Mark." So they kind of come up in our yard a little bit. And I was kind of embarrassed because the walkway that goes to our door has started getting this black mildew stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Because I just been lazy and not got, and I was always embarrassed. I was like, "Hey, I'm sorry, embarrassed." He said, "Oh, that's okay." He said, I'll get that for you. And I was like, "No, that's fine, that's fine." And make a long story short, it came back in that next day, wasn't it? Yeah, anyway, it was like, anyway, he brought over this little pressure washer brush looking thing and cleans it all really good and everything. And I mean, it looks really nice. And I texted him. I said, "Dude, thank you, man. I appreciate it." And he said, "It's okay." He said, "You're welcome." He did it for me. And I didn't ask him. And then he said this in his own words. You know, he says, "You know, I heard people say that if you do good things for people, good things will come back to you." And he said, "You've been helping these troubled people with drugs." And he said, "I just want to be nice to you." I'm like, man, he threw some scripture on me. I didn't know that. In his own way, you know. And so, yeah, got my little sidewalk clean. God worked that out, didn't he? See, sometimes we encourage people by our actions too, not just our words, but our actions. You know, because love in the English language is what? A verb. And a verb is what? An action word. Yeah. Amen? Encourage each other. Ask God this, and I'm getting ready to close. Ask God, "Give me somebody every day, or at least every week, that I can have an exchange with." I really want you guys to do this. Pray about it and practice it. Okay? Someone that you can encourage in a meaningful and profound way. Ask God to open that up. See, if we all will ask God to give us one person, that one person in our heart, whether it's your child, your spouse, your friend, your coworker, or your neighbor, I believe if we really do that, and we trust God with that, we find someone we can encourage, He will help us all. He will help us all move closer to being a soul winner, a disciple maker, and an encourager. Amen? Let's pray. Everyone's heads bowed, eyes closed. If there's someone here this morning that's never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as Danny plays, I'd like for you to make that decision this morning. You can pray right there in your seat. It's the best way you know how. Just ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Ask Him to be Lord of your life. Tell Him that you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. That you want to serve Him the rest of your days. Maybe you're here this morning and you just needed an encouraging word. You need some encouragement. I pray that you would accept that God loves you first. And then accept the fact that He has you in the palm of His hand. He is directing your life, and you're right where you need to be. He has it all worked out for you. Just trust Him. If you've prayed that you've given your life to Christ, I'd love to talk with you at the end of the service. I'd love to talk with you, point you in the right direction.